This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Awakening Media presents The Four Great Imams by Dr. Hisham Al-Awadi.
Whether he can perform on stage or not was not based on your assumption as a student that this teacher has nothing new to offer me and that it's time to go on, to move on to someone else. And that time is 5 minutes, 2 months, 1 year maximum. What's happening today with the students of knowledge is that they are looking for a hero. I don't want to mention names, but as I was saying in the past, in the 80s, the United Kingdom had a hero. I don't want to mention the name, because now you might laugh, but at our time, he was a hero. People would listen to him in hundreds. In the early 90s, the heroes had changed, and now we have new heroes. And who knows, a year, 10 years from now, who will be the heroes? With Hamad, it wasn't like that. With Abu Hanifa, it wasn't like that. I love this chief. I want to be with him. I think he has got a lot to offer me. He might not tell me everything in 1 year. I have to stick to him until he dies, for as long as it takes. And it took 18 years. What was the relationship of Imam Abu Hanifa with Hamad? In one word, love from both sides. And I mean that. Love from both sides. Usually it's the student who loves, adores the teacher. Because the teacher has lots of customers. He enters into the class and he looks at the faces and they are all the same. But with Hamad, that wasn't the case. He would always ask that Imam Abu Hanifa sits next to him. No one sits next to Hamad except Abu Hanifa. Hamad once went to Basra. His son, whom his child was sick, the grandson of Hamad. When Hamad came, the son of Hamad narrates this story. He says, when my father came from Al-Basra, Hamad ibn Abi Sulaiman, I said to him, my father, who did you miss most when you were in Al-Basra? He stayed there for about 3 or 4 months. The son says, I expected him to ask me about the situation, the health condition of my child, whom he left as sick and ill. He said to me, I miss Abu Hanifa. I miss him. This is love. Hamad used to fund Abu Hanifa, used to give him money, used to give him things, used to invite him at his house. The relationship between the student and the teacher superseded the circle, superseded from 9 to 5 lectures and classes. It superseded. It was weekends. It was day and night. It was formally and informally. It was even during festivals and Eid, where everyone has a holiday. And this is something else you have to be aware of. We are talking about institutions, not in the way that we are talking about a digital, discrete organization of time, relationship, hierarchies, systemized conditions. No, we are talking about a human relation. That fit is an integral part of it, but it's not the entire bond, not the entire force behind that relationship. We are talking about someone who loved the Sheikh, fi sabilillah. Not fi sabil knowledge, not fi sabil that he wants something from him, not because something related to dunya is expected. Yes, I want ilm, but I love him. What does Hamad want from Abu Hanifa? Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, would venerate, would esteem, would respect his sheikh. We are talking about gifted people, that even among those students, he was rising ahead. You come from 9 to 5. I'm not going to come from 9 to 5. I'm going to go there to the scholar from the Fajr time and wait for him until he wakes up and gets out of his house at 8:30. But I'm there since 6 o'clock waiting for him. Why? Because I want to utilize and exploit every single moment from this person because I believe he has something private, something special, something decent, something nice that he's prepared to tell me. And I'm prepared to receive him. This was my belief. You see, this is how these people were beloved by their peers. We are not talking about people chatting and crossing their legs and saying, oh, Hamad, tell me next what you have. Tell me, is this haram or halal? No.
wasn't like this. This was a human relationship based on love. Not only that, but Imam Abu Hanifa would go. This is narrated by the sister of Hamad, Atika. She said, and we are talking about someone in his 20s. She says, Atika, the sister of Hamad, she says, Abu Hanifa would come to us every day, and he would carry the shopping for us. Hamad probably gave him the money, or he probably did the shopping. He would flock the cotton for us. He would sweep the floor for us. He would bring the greenings and the vegetables for us. And he would buy the milk for us. I'm not kidding you. كان ينجس قطننا ويشتري لبننا وبقلنا. And he used to sit in the house. Do you know what else he used to do? He used to sit in the house when there was a questioner coming to ask Hamad a question. He would function or act as a representative or as a secretary. What's the question? Imam Abu Hanifa would tell the questioner. He says, ask Hamad, what is the hukum of so-and-so? He says, okay, wait 5 minutes, I'll be back. He would go to Hamad, like a master, sitting on his throne. Forget about the palace next to the mosque. We have unelected rulers sitting in their houses, gifted people flocking the cotton and cleaning the house for them. These are the people that manufactured and created history, not Abu Ja'far al-Mansur or Abu al-Abbas al-Saffah. He would go to Hamad and say, yes, yes, what is the hukum in this or this or that? Hamad would say, Ibrahim al-Nasri said to us, so and so and so. But Abdullah al-Mas'ud, I heard him say, so and so and so. He would record the answer. Go to the questioner and give him the answer. Now tell me of a student, a colleague of Imam Abu Hanifa, would get this source of information. Exclusive for Imam Abu Hanifa. This is an exclusive fatwa for Imam Abu Hanifa. This is why we have Abu Hanifa today. This is why we have these people. You know, I want to tell you something. These people are gifted. These people are geniuses. These people are good Muslims. These people have good father and good mother. No, that was not it. These people worked very hard to attain the place, the post, the position that they have attained. You sit and you enjoy stories about Abu Hanifa. I sit and enjoy reading about Abu Hanifa. But can I read the Quran 30 times a year? Can I listen to the Imam reading the Zilzila of the Ard of Zilzala and read heavily? Or should I be thinking, when will I go home? How do I want to be like Abu Hanifa? Like Abu Hanifa? How do you dare to speak against Abu Hanifa? Not to mention be like him. Have you done what he did? Did you contemplate doing half of what he did? Abu Hanifa says, ما صليت صلاة منذ أن مات حماد إلا استغفرت له مع والدي وإني لأستغفر لمن تعلمت منه علما أو علمت به. I have never prayed a single prayer following the death of Hamad without praying to Hamad when I pray to my parents. Look, اللهم اغفر لأمي وأبي. Forgive my mother and for my father. All of us do it. And my son and my daughter and my wife and my grandmother and my... Maybe I remember the Palestinians. Maybe I remember the entire Muslim Ummah. I hardly do this. But to pray for my sheikh? The sheikh, by the way, doesn't have to be someone that you spent 80... The sheikh is someone who taught you anything. You learned. When we say Imam Malik had over 700 sheikhs, it doesn't mean that he stayed and sat with 700 sheikhs. It means that he probably attended Zuhr prayer and sat in a circle, heard one hadith, it became his sheikh. Brothers and sisters, I urge you, and this is to serve my interest as well, if you benefited anything from this course, I say this to you and to whoever listens to these tapes. Make dua for me. In the same way that I ask my daughter to give me a piece of chocolate. Make dua for me, and make dua for whoever posts something. In the street, on the internet, conference, camp, class, please. Make dua. Is that it? Is that what you want? No, I want to tell you something else. Imam al-Hussein says, وَإِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ تَعَلَّمْتُ مِنْهُ عِلْمًا. I ask forgiveness not just for Haman. I ask forgiveness to whoever I learned from him. Is that it? Only this? No. Al-Aman Tawaf. I even made this star to whoever I taught. He made this star to his students. So you have to tell me. We will make istighfar to you on one condition. That you remember us in your presence. That you make istighfar for us. In the same way, didn't I tell you that it's a love relationship? It's not a give and take relationship. It's not gain or lose relationship. It's not money. It's not who you are and who you are. No. It's istighfar. Because your respect to me and my respect to you is only based on the fact that both of us are serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will shock you with this story with regards to Hamad. And to see the respect. Imam Abu Hanifa says, I have never stretched my legs in the direction of Hamad's house out of respect to him. And what separates me between the house of Hamad and my house, 7 feet. I never stretch my legs, not towards the Qibla, no. I never stretch my legs towards my face. Not in his presence, no, in his absence. Look at the students today when they speak to Sheikh from, because the Sheikh can't speak there. English, he thinks that this Sheikh is stupid. Who is he? He doesn't have a laptop, he's not aware of the technology. Yes, he might be good in deen and ilm and death. No, but I am wiser. Street wiser, and talk to him like this, and talk to him like this, and you know the ego is in between you and the scholar. You will never learn like this. You will never learn. You have to humiliate yourself. You have to be like a candle burning candle. Dissolve yourself. I'm not asking you not to stretch your legs. Stretch it if you can. But look at this example. You know why I choose these examples? Not necessarily because I want you to be like them, but because I want to shock you with extreme examples. Because the only way I can raise your head to role models is by these examples. Because the examples that are shown in TV today are no way close to these examples. But I have to give you the evidence for that. I can't just tell you they were great scholars, they were this, they were this is an attitude. Okay. If that is the case with you, Sheikh, what about your father and mother? More respect, more love. What about, I mean, 6, 7 streets, what about your mother who's next room, or your father who's sitting next to you, what do you do with them? You put your legs like this and say, Father, who do you think you are? Hamad ibn Abi Sulaiman. He was born in Kufa. Maybe this should have been mentioned in the beginning. He died at the age of 49 when Abu Hanifa was at the age of 40. So we're talking about 18 years of companionship. That tells us that Imam Abu Hanifa was in his 20s when he began to adhere to Imam Hamad. He received respect by or through Ibrahim al-Nakhi. And Ibrahim al-Nakhi and al-Sha'bi, the turning point maker. The turning point initiator. Both of them received their knowledge from Shariah or Shuraih and Alqama ibn Qays and Masruq ibn al-Ajdah. These three received their step from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Ali ibn Abi Talib. Other shuyukh, I just mentioned them by name briefly, Sa'id ibn Jubayr. Black person. A mawla, client. None other. But who cares? Powerful person. So much powerful that he was killed by a subject. People until today in Islamic history despise Al-Hajjaj because he killed Sa'id ibn Jubayr. He did other things, but never mind. Killing that great tabi'i was a crime. When people used to go Abdullah ibn Abbas, a great companion, as you know, the father of the Abbasid dynasty, asking him questions. He would say, people from Al-Kufa, traveling all the way to Mecca, where Abdullah ibn Abbas was based. He says to them, you are coming all the way from Kufa to Mecca to ask me the question, go and ask Sa'id ibn Umayyah. A companion is channeling the people to go and ask him, which is anything shows how magnificent this person was. Other scholars, other teachers, Ata ibn Abi Rabah, the faqih of Mecca, the student of Abdullah ibn Abbas, black, paralyzed, crippled, blind, none other. Crippled, paralyzed, yet he was the Mufti of Mecca. And he became blind at the end of his life. Imam Abu Hanifa met him and conversed with him when Abu Hanifa was based in Mecca. Another scholar, Nafi, Mawla ibn Umar, or Nafi al-Daylami. Nafi was a client, or Mawla, or a servant, or a slave, former slave, to Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Abdullah ibn Umar is the one that I mentioned was left and kept and stayed in Medina. So Nafi has got the fiqh of Medina. Abdullah ibn Abbas has got the fiqh of Mecca. Sa'id ibn Jubair has got the fiqh of Kufa. Abu Hanifa met all these. Abu Hanifa met all of these. And Abu Hanifa also met Muhammad al-Baqir and al-Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. The two Imams, and I mentioned their names, from among the Alawite family pre-ordinate. Muhammad al-Baqir died in 731. Ja'far al-Sadiq, his son, died in 799. Okay, we finished from the teachers. Now what's the product of this? This is the input. Where is the output? You see the output of what Abu Hanifa have learned from the teachers in Abu Hanifa's relationship with his students. Number one, Abu Hanifa was generous to all of his students. For example, today is Saturday. Abu Hanifa is giving a talk. Ya Sheikh, I cannot come today. Why? Because I am working. Abu Hanifa would say, how much do you earn for Saturday? Let's say £50, £100, let's say. Would he do this once a week? Twice a week? Once a month? Abu Yusuf says, Imam Abu Yusuf, the faithful student of Imam Abu Hanifa, he said, Imam Abu Hanifa funded me, my house, my wife, and my children for 10 years. Funding. Scholarship. Here they give scholarship for 2 years, 3 years, 1 year, and just for accommodation or fees or whatever. No, this is full, full. But it wasn't given to anyone. It was given to geniuses only. Abu Yusuf, Sufa, Muhammad Hassan al-Shibani. Okay, where is the link between Abu Hanifa and Hammad and Abu Yusuf? I will tell you the link. Abu Yusuf says to Imam Abu Hanifa, you are so generous and so kind. Following his decision to give him funding, Imam Abu Hanifa, rather than saying, you bet, I am generous, he's saying, oh, no, I am Hammad. You haven't seen Hammad. You haven't met Hammad. If you met Hammad, you wouldn't say I'm generous. Look, institutions. Teacher, student, then student becoming teacher, and then student. A student then becomes a teacher. This is how it is. This is how it is. It's not just the chain of narration in the hadith, it's the chain of institutions of Tarbiyah. Where are these chains of institutions today? What did I learn from my colleague? What did I learn from my lecturer? What did I learn from my teacher? I learned knowledge, just fine. This is haram, this is halal, this is makruh, this is, that doesn't make me a human being. That doesn't make me able to lower my gaze in the summer in Oxford Street, for example. But I know brothers and sisters, I don't know about sisters, but I know brothers that tell how much they are suffering. They go to camps, they go to meetings, they go, and they complain. They cannot resist. Some of them migrated, some of them even left Islam, left, said, I cannot live a dual life. I have to be frank. I know people that were atheists, and the following day he was an atheist. He couldn't. Sometimes I don't think bad, too bad of them. I say to myself, Allah, I hope. I just wish we had the institutions where the institutions come out and have a solution. Maybe these things would not happen. When the young boy pleads with his mother and father in the morning, in the dawn time or in dhuhr, he goes to his shaykh, he just talks the Quran, he chats. This is not about serious life, it's not about all knowledge. No, they used to chat, but the company was good. They used to sit in the mosque and chat. They used to invite themselves for dinner and chat. Nothing is wrong with going to the city center at night, because city center you find the mosque and the Islamic city. Nothing is wrong with that. But the company was good. If you want to be great, you can't. You'll find it difficult. But now, it's difficult to be good. Imam Abu Hanifa used to teach his students, used to give them advice. General advice. Istaqbi asatidati. Wa istaqbi al-ghayn wa istaqbi al-ghayn wa istaqbi. He told Abu Yusuf, make istighfar for your teachers. He didn't tell him, make istighfar for me. No, make istighfar for your teachers. And whoever you took knowledge from, and visit the shiuch. Visit the shiuch. Who is this? Whose advice is this? This is the advice of Imam al-Sha'bi. Remember the turning point? Who do you frequent to? Who do you go frequently to? I don't go frequently to anyone. I go to the market. No, go to the shiuch. Imam Abu Hanifa now, a grown up man in his 50s, giving the same advice to his students. Fathers, advisors, children. Brothers, sisters, even if you are not married, learn and apply with your wife, with your sons, with your daughters. Don't say, I am young. Don't say, it's too late. Don't say, there is no hope. No, be like Imam al-Sha'bi. Create turning points in your life, in your family, in your sons and daughters. Create turning points. Today, say, I hope. It's going to be my turning point. I don't know what you will do afterwards, but say this is my turning point. You have made me someone, or this course has made me someone who study physics very well, who study chemistry very well. I don't want to hear, try to market it for you. I'm not doing that. I'm not making you feel inferior because you are not a faqih or you don't have good photographic memory. May Allah forbid, I'm not doing that. I'm saying, be decent. Try to be decent. He says to his students, do not go too much to the city centers. Do not go too much to the markets. He says to one of his students, remember this. Visit the cemeteries. Adhere to reading the Quran. And visit Mecca and Medina. This has nothing to do with it. Read the Quran. He says to his students, do not laugh too much. He says to his students, do not be greedy. Do not be stingy. Do not lie. He even tells his students how to behave when they are walking in the street. He says, when you walk in the street and someone calls you from the back, don't look at the back. Because only animals look at the back when someone calls. You might agree or disagree. I'm not saying anything. I personally, if someone calls me from the back, I'll say, Hisham, I'm walking along somebody. Hisham, what will I do? I'll say, come and jump over me so that I can see you. I can't turn. But he is trying to tell you something, that be decent, be respectable. Don't go walking, doing like this and doing like that. You are scum. Behave like one. This is the problem with these quotations. I don't want you to take everything literally, but at the same time, I don't want to interpret things for you. Understand the spirit. Understand the value. Understand what exactly he wants. It's not just don't laugh, don't be greedy, don't lie. No, it's about be good, be decent. What was the product of these advices? What was the product of the school of Abu Hanifa? The products were 36 dedicated students. I'm saying 36 special students. There were hundreds, but 36 dedicated. 28 are worthy of being judges. Oh dear. Six, can give fatwa based on ijtihad within the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa. Two, are worthy of giving ijtihad, are able to give ijtihad, and are able to rectify and correct the 26 judges when they make mistakes. So we have a total of 8 mujtahids. Imam Abu Hanifa, the one that could have ended his life being a businessman, was successfully recruited not to bomb or to kill, but to reform and to bring to humanity's 8 great mujtahids. This is an achievement. Credit to Imam Shafi'i, with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's talk then about the 3 major students. Abu Yusuf died at the age of 69. He was poor, but Imam Abu Hanifa funded him, and he continued to learn from Imam Abu Hanifa. Just to tell you a very small story. If Abu Yusuf was not funded by Imam Abu Hanifa, we would not have had Abu Yusuf. Do you know why? Abu Yusuf used to go and attend the circle of Imam Abu Hanifa at his early time. And then Abu Hanifa missed him. He could have said, let him go to wherever. Whoever wants knowledge, this is my knowledge. But he missed him. He went after him. He said, Ya Abu Yusuf, I missed you yesterday. He said, my father asked me to work because we are poor and my father depends on me. I have to go and win the bread for the household. Imam Abu Hanifa could have said, okay, may Allah bless you. And he would have assassinated the intellectual capability of Abu Yusuf and deprived all of us and all of the inhabitants of the Indian subcontinent and the people who live in Bradford and Manchester and Birmingham with the beauty of the Hanafi madhab based on the contribution of Abu Yusuf, if he would have neglected him. And wallahi, brothers and sisters, we have neglected lots of magnificent people that I know of, that they are now in the city dead, walking on the street but dead. No spirit, no thinking, no mind. Not because they are stupid or idiots, but because they were neglected. Because no one picked up the phone to call them. Because no one cared about them. They love Islam. They love you. But they have been deserted. They have been neglected. No one cared about them. Abu Hanifa went to Abu Yusuf and said, come to the circle, and I will give you 10 years of scholarship. Abu Yusuf went to his father, and his father said, if he will give you funding, then go to the circle. He became a judge during the Abbasid period, Qadi al-Qubar, the chancellor, the judge of the judges, not just a mere judge. During the time of Harun al-Rashid, Imam Abu Hanifa gives him a very good advice that I've separated it from the general advice to the students because I believe it's a very significant advice related to what I just said earlier. أقبل على تلاميذك أو على متفقهتك كأنك اتخذت كل واحد منهم ابنا وولدا لتزيدهم رقة في العلم. Treat your students as if they were your sons. Because when you love them more, they will love you more and they will want to learn more. If I am a teacher, all I'm thinking about is my contract with the university. Whether you attend the class or not, I don't care. But if I love you, and the relationship is based on love, I will care. And I will take you as my son. Of course, I can't take you as my son, so I can take you as my colleagues, as my friends. But if they're talking to Abu Yusuf, who needed such an advice when he became Qadi al-Qubar. Just to break this boredom and tell you a small joke if you want. Do you want to hear a joke? Once Harun al-Rashid, just to show you how genius these people were. Once Harun al-Rashid had a problem with his wife. And it seems that the problem escalated. And he became angry with her. And he took an oath that she is divorced. That she is divorced and that she should leave his kingdom today. doesn't choose his kingdom today, she's divorced. What does it mean? The oath. Allah, nowadays, you say, what is your kingdom? It's just your bedroom. It just is the bedroom. This is your kingdom. But Harun al-Rashid, his kingdom, you know, it stretched from Iraq and Persia and North Africa. He used to say to the cloud, oh cloud, go wherever you want. Your product from the rain on the plants will come to me sooner or later. The products of the crops that you will grow will come to me in the form of tax to the budget of the state. So go wherever you want. Go to Persia, go this, go that. That was the kingdom of Harun. So how can his wife, in one night, didn't have cars, didn't have undergrounds, no planes, how can she leave in one night? You ask the scholars, and the scholars said, I'm afraid, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, your wife is divorced, because this is impossible. They divorced the wife. The small boy that was with Abu Hanifa, now he's a grown-up judge. Not just a grown-up judge, he's intelligent. He's gifted. He's worthy of 10 years of scholarship. And he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, your wife is not divorced. Because today she can be outside your kingdom. Harun al-Rashid was surprised. He was happy, of course, because he cooled down and he wants his wife again. But was surprised. How come? She said, your wife will have to sleep in the mosque. Because the mosque is the kingdom of Allah. Can you think like this? Can you think like this? Look, today we have a problem with our mindset. You might say, Harun Rashid, why did you do such a stupid oath? Don't you think of the... No, it's haram. Okay, fast 3 days. No, feed 10 miskins. No. Go and sleep in the mosque. She slept in the mosque, and the following day she went to the palace. And subhanAllah, the palace and the mosque were close to each other. As you know now. Zufar ibn al-Hadil, or Zufar ibn al-Hudayl, is another scholar. He is one of the scholars of Imam Abu Hanifa. He's not as famous, although he is probably more intelligent than both of them, Abu Yusuf and Hakim Shirani. But however, he was not interested in writing and in distributing the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa simply because he died at such an early age. He died at the age of 48, as opposed to Abu Yusuf, who died at the age of 69. Zufar died at the age of 48. Only 8 years after Imam Abu Hanifa. So he had more time to crystallize the madhab, etc. As much as Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani, the third and final student. Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani, when Abu Hanifa died, he was only 18 years old. And he lived and died at the age of 57. So he had time to develop and improve and propagate the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa. And Abu Hassan al-Shaybani, this I can assure you, was handsome, was fair-skinned, all the beautiful characters that you want. He was a bit fat, well-built. When he came once, at the beginning, to join the circle of Imam Abu Hanifa, we are talking about Plato's Academy. When he came to join Abu Hanifa's circle, Abu Hanifa said, sorry, you are not accepted. Why? What are the prerequisites? Not A levels or O levels, no. The prerequisite for joining Abu Hanifa's school is that you have to be half of the Quran. At that age, at that time, he was very young. He went, and they say, in a couple of years, he came and rejoined the academy because now he's a Hafiz. This is Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani, who is one of the teachers of al-Imam al-Shafi'i. He also stayed with Imam Malik and learned from Imam Malik, which was different than Imam Abu Hanifa. He remained with Imam Malik for 3 years. What do we learn from that? You learn from this the following. That you can be a follower of one group and attend a conference or a camp organized by another. That you can be loyal to one sheikh and go and learn from another sheikh. What else does it mean? It means that the group will not talk ill to you about the other group. It means that the sheikh will not talk ill to you about the other sheikh. It means that Abu Hanifa never spoke ill of Imam Malik. It means that Imam Abu Hanifa encouraged his students to travel and sit with others other than Imam Abu Hanifa.